Hello to everyone online. Can't see you at the moment. Usually I've got my phone on watching the comments. Actually, I might do that as well. So I'll put my phone on and have some comments. If you want to say something, go for it. Stuart Campbell Gillies, are you willing to stand in front of kings and kingdoms for the name of Jesus? Unashamedly, are you willing to do that? Josh, where's Josh? Yeah. Not Arnold, Josh. Josh, are you willing to stand up in front of Goliath, in front of giants? Are you willing to be courageous when everything around you says that you're about to die? And trust in Jesus. Diane. Oh, she's laughing, eh? Are you willing to stand and trample the great lion? Vessel and Carol, are you guys willing? Are you willing to step in the dangerous ground and risk everything? Brennan and Trianne, are you willing to stand when you have no words and trust, just trust that the Father's going to put them in your mouth? To put yourself in situations where you aren't skilled and you don't have the ability. At 16 years old, I walked into this incredible church called Breakthrough at the time. And Jesus gripped a hold of this young man's heart. I walked in there totally broken, totally lost, didn't know my left hand from my right. And as I got in there, a radical, real Jesus met with a broken young man. He transformed this heart. And I'll never forget that one moment where I was actually lying on my back and I felt the Holy Spirit for the first time. The tangible electricity flooding through my bones. And as I lay there, I remember I cried like a baby, screaming out, "Why?" Crying like a baby. I felt Jesus ask me the question, "Sean, will you plant churches? Sean, will you go to the nations?" And I remember as clear as crystal, I can still close my eyes today and see that vision. As I close my eyes, I can see Asia, I can see Australia, I can see Africa as clear as day. Asia, the whole continent. It is at the back there. You can see it there too. And I knew in some weird way that Jesus is going to use me in those areas and he's going to take me into those places, but I didn't know how and I don't know when and I don't know what. I got a good friend, I don't know if his wife's with him, Mark and Louise, who actually when I was at youth and I was 16 years old, when I was finding the love of my life, they knew before I knew that I loved her. They were there for me at the end of the pier, holding up the "Will you marry me" sign as I stood at the top of Blue Waters Hotel with Lindsay looking down at the binoculars and they had their torches shining on there. Jesus put me in this beautiful family where I was delivered, restored, given new life, given a hope and a future where someone like me should have never had that hope and future. But a radical Jesus met with a young 16-year-old boy. Can you two come here quickly? Olivia and Lindsay. I have two others as well, a boy Hudson and a little girl Sophie. And standing here, is fruit that never should have been. I never should have got so lucky with such a beautiful wife. She hates when I say that, but it's true, eh? But not just beautiful on the outside, beautiful on the inside. Stands by me through the thick and thin when I'm going crazy and loopy. She's there. A beautiful young daughter who's now a teenager, can you believe it? Who I'm so proud of, who just makes such incredible decisions. And you know why this is all? It's because of this family. It's because of this beautiful family that Jesus planted me in. And it's in this family that we got discipled by people like Mark and Louise. We got discipled by people like Matt and Joel. We got discipled and learned how to elder by people like Vessel and Carol. And there's many more faces and names of people who stood alongside us. Miggs and Cole. I remember as a young man saying, that marriage, I want that, Jesus. I want that marriage that they have. And I remember them inviting me around to their home and having dinners and letting me look after their kids. And me seeing them parents, still to this day, keeps in contact. How are you guys doing? Still to this day, Mark, my youth leader, keeps in contact. How are you guys doing? This is the family that Jesus has planted each and every one of us. You may sit down, you're feeling a bit embarrassed there. As a young man with this incredible desire to plant churches, and we were planted in this movement called NCMI, and for those of you who might be new to it, it was this radical church planting movement, and church planting was celebrated. So it was like awesome, like Jesus put this thing inside of my heart, church planting, yeah. And then all of a sudden, it's like you just see all these guys going and praying and into this nation and into that place, and it was multiplying, and there was such this excitement around us, and I was such a great place for me to be. The only one problem was this. Every time I wanted to go, I said, yes, we're going. The Father said, no, you need to stay. Not just once, but four times over many years. Jesus, yes, we want to go. No, I need you to stay. At the beginning of last year, I started feeling that stirring again, like Jesus. And you've maybe heard it through some of the preaching. Let's get the mountain place. Let's go for it. Come on. Jesus has called us to multiply. Jesus has called us to move. Jesus has called us to pioneer, to go into those hard places, to stand before kings and queens, to stand before giants, to let Jesus give us the words. And yet again, we came before Jesus. Lord, is it now? Like, hey, what you're doing? And the stirring inside of our hearts. We felt Jesus say, whatever you want to do, go for it. Go for it. So part of me standing here today is to say that Lindsay, myself, and our family are not going to be here for much longer. You're supposed to go, oh, man, come on. Oh, there, I feel so much better. But we really feel like we're responding to the voice of God, saying to us over, Sean, will you go? Sean, will you go? And the word that came to us, it started at the beginning of lockdown last year, was that Abrahamic call. The Lord said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, your father's household. And I've got that in red. Those are my red letters for you. Your father's household. This is the household that I am a son in. I was brought up here. I was raised here by family and fathers and brothers and sisters. And even as I stand here today, that's what I have, this incredible, beautiful family. Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. So he didn't know yet what it looked like. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. And I will and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples of earth will be blessed through you. So as we did that, I know you guys have heard of Lindsay has moved up to Tallulah already. And that is the place that we are going to be going for the next short while. I'm going to be basing myself up there as well and working in Tallulah as a business. And really trusting for what that next season looks like. We don't know what it's like. Our hearts are to plant. Our hearts are to see, establish communities. That's what he's placed on us. That's the call right from the word go. But we know as we go that God will make it clearer what that thing needs to look like. If that sounds scary, if it sounds weird to you, that's how it feels for me too. Don't worry. But listening, what we have realized over the years, listening to God, whether it's a no or a yes, is the safest place that we can be. It's just responding to him and saying, God, yes, that we feel this is you. And you might think, just throwing this out there, this hasn't just been thrown out there. This has been processed on many hours of processing and chatting and backwards and forwards and so on and so forth. We have processed this over and over and over again. And with faith, we feel this is what Jesus is saying for the now. And what this does is beautiful. It's what we've seen happen in youth. As we step out, someone else steps in, and there's a flourishing that takes place. And we hope as we step out of this place that some people or person or whatever will step into something that God has for you. 24 years we've been here. Jesus, the fisher of man. I love Jesus because he's a fisherman. One of my favorite things to do is fishing. And Mark didn't know, I was up at 3:30 this morning. He thought I was on my hands and knees. I was actually taking my boy fishing. That's why I was up at 3:30. I'm a good sleeper. But I maybe want to go a little bit, I'm going to start with my story of being a fisher of men. At a young age, God, obviously I spoke about that, Jesus radically saved me as a young man. And at school, I was wild. Let's just put it that way. I was already crazy, but now I had the Holy Spirit fire inside of me, so I was doubly crazy. I was constantly in the headmaster's office of them like, what are you doing? We had people take CDs. We were breaking CDs because they were from the demons. And we were wild. We were on the beachfront with signs, Jesus saves, running up and down with face paint all over us, baptizing people in the water. We didn't really know what baptism was properly, but we did it anyway because the Bible said it. We were in our friends' homes casting out demons. We were finding all the guys that were like into that spiritualist stuff, and we would take them and we'd cast out demons. Even before they accepted Jesus, because casting out the demon was more important at that time than accepting Jesus. And then at 18 years, oh, I was actually 17 years old, I went on my first trip up into Malawi. And I was wild. And the leader of the trip, I would just do things. And this guy was like, well, who is this oak? I remember having one of my most painful conversations. I was in the backy afterwards, well, during the meeting actually, and he sat down with me. And this was like the apostle. And he laid into me. Just about, hey, if you're going to do things, come talk to me. For, you know, just like common decency stuff. Because I didn't have that. I was wild. I never... And I was so hurt. And then I got home, and then Matt McGaw, he laid into me as well because he told him about what happened. And then so I got doubly, and I was so wounded. And then I remember testifying about it, and all I talked about was the long drops. And then I got in trouble about that as well. I had really good spiritual fathers who bent me over their knees, and they gave me some proper spankings. But I'm so grateful for that. So grateful for those moments. I saw, if I'm not joking, hundreds of kids being led to the Lord in the 2 years that I was left at school. I remember God saying, this is your only opportunity. We're going to have 1,000 people around you. You're not going to have this opportunity again. I took it with both hands. In this church, we started going into Mozambique and into Lesotho and preaching the gospel. And the first times we got there, no one gave their hearts to Jesus. I was so disappointed, except for the last moment. And Calvin was with us on that trip. The last moment, 5 drunk guys walked in, sat down. I was so discouraged because we were packing our bags to go, and everyone told us to leave and get out of there and all sorts. And they were sitting down there, and they gave their hearts to Jesus, and they walked out sober. From drunk to sober. Those same guys are still there today serving Jesus. And over the time, we've seen salvation upon salvation upon salvation. I have cool stories about that, but we won't get into that today. As we started working for the church, we started the urban sounds and getting into the city and playing music and bringing unsaved people in. What is the heart? Jesus has called us to be fishers of men. And recently, through my trail business, we've been going on adventures with people that don't know Jesus, that are having an affairs and all sorts of stuff, and we've brought them into our home. Because Jesus loves them and wants to see them being brought to him. How's your fishing journey going? How's your fishing journey going? Because Jesus has called each and every one of us to be fishers of men. When you stand up here saying it's my season to move on or whatever it might be, what's your story going to be? Luke chapter 5. On one occasion, the crowd was pressing on him to hear the word of God, speaking about Jesus. He was standing by the lake and saw 2 boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing the nets. Getting onto one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put it out a little further from land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, so this is obviously the red letters, put out into the deep and let down your nets for the catch. Simon answered, Master, we've toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word, obviously they were sitting there while cleaning, hearing what Jesus was talking about, but at your word, I'll let down my nets. When they had done this, they enclosed such a large number of fish and the nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats. So they began to sink. How's that? So many fish that both the boats were beginning to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. When Sean Reed walked in to Breakthrough Church at 16 years old, he fell on his knees, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. Also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, red letters words, here we go, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men. And when they had brought their boats to the land, I love this, they left everything and followed him. Luke chapter 10, verse 1. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them 2 by 2 ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go, and told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Friends, are we going to be harvesters? The 72 return in verse 17. They returned with joy, saying, the Lord, even demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall from like lightning from heaven. Behold, I've given you authority to tread on the serpent and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. My friends, we rejoice when other people's names are written in heaven. Not that demons come out, not that they get healed. Yes, we rejoice in that stuff, but we rejoice when souls are brought to heaven. The Great Commission, Matthew 18. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had directed them to. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. I love that. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go out and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you to the very end of age." We so often take what God has given us or called us to, and we put our lens over it. And I think I shared this story. I don't know where I shared it, but a friend of mine came to me and he was just saying, you know, like when he was younger, there was a prophetic guy who prophesied over him that he would reach thousands with his worship gift. And almost like a bit like it hasn't happened yet. So I was like, but bud, do you know that the songs you released on Facebook has already reached thousands of people? Thousands of people. So often we have an idea of what we think something should look like. Instead of just saying, okay, yes, God, I'm going to be obedient to that. And even as we go now, it's not what I thought it would look like, honestly. I thought it would be like Bangladesh somewhere, or I don't know. I just had a different idea of what I thought this moment would look like. But I have to be faithful to it, to say, yes, Jesus, I'm moving to this, and I'm going to trust that as we go, we will make disciples of the people we go to. We will baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And we will teach them to observe everything that Jesus has commanded me and shown me in my beautiful time with this family. When Jesus speaks, even though it doesn't make sense, his instruction is where lives are turned towards him. Even when it doesn't make sense, on his instruction, lives are turned towards him. Number three, am I willing to drop everything? Are we willing to drop everything? Are we willing to drop our ideas, our plans, our purposes, our thoughts, our ideas of what we think things should be to say yes to Jesus? And fourthly, and this is to all of us, including myself, the Great Commission, the red letters of going out, is not just to... Hello, Doug. Demons are manifesting, eh? No, that's a very cute dog. He's not got no demons. Don't worry. It's just joking. But our call is to make disciples. And this is where my last story comes in. I'm going to wrap it up here. But our purpose, friends, each and every one of us sitting here, is to make disciples. Are you making a disciple of someone? Even if it's one person. We don't have to go after thousands of people. Just one person. Is there one person below you that you are bringing up into something, showing him the Father's face? That's good enough. That's perfect. Make disciples of all nations. Are we using every opportunity to teach? And I had a very painful story this morning after my Hoppos 3 wake up this morning. So I go fishing with Wally. He's a proper fisher of men. But anyways, I go out fishing with him. I've got Hudson with me. I've got my brand new birthday rod and reel that I've just got. And it's like everything I ever wanted. I've got Hudson's rod, my rod, and another rod strapped on this double plastic canoe, and we head off to Seabell. We get in the water there, and I'm Hudson, like teaching him how we're going to be brave. We're going to get out there. We're going to smash the fish today. Those fish have nothing on us. Anyways, get to the beach, and everyone's like, do we go out? Don't we, guys? I'm like, guys, it's so small. What are you talking about? Let's go. And anyway, I left them on the beach, push the thing in, go, sit in the mid-break, hopping a bunch of waves. And then I'm like, okay, now I'm going to go. Gap it for the back line. As I'm going, I have about a three-second like pause. Like, have I made the wrong call here? And then I'm like, no. Don't hesitate is exactly what went through my mind. And then I just start motoring it. But those 3 seconds were the most painful 3 seconds of my life. I got to the back line and we hit the first wave. We get over. Like literally the boat ramps over the back. Boom. We hit the next one. Oh, get over it. And then I see that the third one's always the biggest. And there it is. And I'm just going with everything I can. As the wave's peeling, we hit it perfectly. We go up. And then we flip over sideways like that. I'm like, oh, no. Hudson, eyes, biggest saucer. Dad jumps on my shoulder like this. And I wanted to now flip the boat. But I'm like, okay, that boat's going in. I'm going to swim this boy back in there. And anyway, the boat gets dragged along. I pull Hudson, take him in. Teaching him, like the whole time, teaching, you know, make disciples. Don't worry, we don't have to panic here, it's easy, you look here. And then I show him, like we're in the back, I stand up and the water's this deep. Stand up, boy. He's like, oh, and then wave hits us from the back. He gets pushed, I swim to him again, hold him, and he's like, Dad, can I hold your hand? Like, yeah, you can hold my hand. Anyways, take him to the beach, get to the beach. While he's like, now, like, what do I do? Do I get in, help him? Yeah, he gets in, helps, other guy comes, pulls my ski out, and then I notice I've only got one rod of four left. I'm just like, oh, no, I can't believe this. My heart just sank. Just my birthday reel and rod. Hudson's reel and rod, which he loves so much, is gone. Anyway, we're standing on the beach, and I thought, okay, well, we might as well use this as a teaching opportunity. Other Wally wasn't going to go out because he thought the waves were too big, and this other guy wasn't going to go out because he thought the waves were too big. So I said, no, Wally, you are going out. So get him. He gets into the mid-break, and I say, okay, sit in the mid-break. And when there's a break, I'm going to whistle. But usually what he did is he would just get in and you'll just paddle straight out and often get nailed. But it's like, no, he has a teaching opportunity. Let me disciple him. Let me show him some of my fishing skills. Anyways, disciple him. Hey, Wally, if you're watching. Disciple him into the mid-break. He goes, hit the whistle, and he is the perfect disciple. He just listens. He hears that whistle, and he just puts foot. And I see a couple waves picking up at the back. I'm like, ooh, I hope he really listens to that whistle. Paddles and he makes it out first time. Perfect. Didn't even get his hair wet. Absolutely perfect. Then there was this other guy next to him. And I'm like chatting. He's like, no, he's new as well. He's very nervous. He's a fireman, but he's a bit unfit at the moment. I'm like, come, but you got to go. Tries once, wipes out. Swim out, get his boat for him, put it on the beach. Tries a second time, wipes out. But on both those times when I whistled, he wasn't a very good disciple because he went like this and he was nervous and he was like, should I trust this guy I've just met on the beach? Anyways, paddled, got nailed twice. Third time, I talk him through this. I'm saying, but firstly, you're not sitting far enough to the waves there. Secondly, when I'm whistling, you're not listening. You're not paddling. You're not going for it. So we're going to try one more time. And you're gonna go for it. When I whistle, you just paddle. Anyways, gets to the back line, whistles, and he bolts, and he gets out, spins his paddle. Woo, 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 woo. And I thought, what a great. So there was a huge amount of pain of me losing my rods and reels, but I was able to teach two people incredible lessons. And my boy, I managed to teach him an incredible lesson about respecting the ocean and so on and so forth. We get home, he's devastated. I'm devastated. We stood, him and I, after that, we stood on the beach for about an hour and a half and we didn't say a word to each other. We just watched the ocean hoping that maybe the rods and reels would end up back on the beach. We get back home. Was he crying in the room? He's crying in the room, a little bit upset. And Lindsay prays with him, says, you know what? Let's pray that someone finds your rod and reel. Anyway, so she prays with him in the passage. Literally 4 minutes later, Wally phones me, comes back from fishing. One of the guys found your rod on the beach. One of them. It wasn't mine. Finds a rod. Which one is it? Please, he says, no, it's the one like the Hudson's rod and reel, the one they just prayed for. My rod and reel, gone. But my friends, sometimes we have to lose things. let's not be caught up in the pain of the moment, but let's take those moments and say, Jesus, what is it that you're doing right now and right here? Lindsay stepped in the moment with Hudson and prayed. And you know what? God answered his prayer. He is so stoked. Like, Jesus, here's my prayers. And wow, what an amazing thing. For the other guys, they learned some stuff. But it took a lot of pain. My friends, when we go, Jesus is sending us into the world. There are wolves. There are giants. There are people that want to take us out. There are people that hate what we do. We need to be strong. We need to be courageous. We need to stand up and say yes to Jesus, no matter the cost and the pain. And as we do that, we see lives touched and changed. We see a man who now no longer is going to sit on the beach and watch the waves, but he's going to take a chance because he knows he can do it. We see a young boy who next time something happens, he's going to turn to the Father and say, Father, help me. Because he's seen him do it. So as much as Lindsay and I are stepping off the boat, just into another boat, alongside, we're all fishing in the same city together. Let's be courageous. Let's be a people who go into every nation. Let's be a people who don't just sit and listen to preachers on Sunday, but let's be a people who get another person alongside us, no matter who it is, just one, and teach them everything that Jesus has shown us.